C-A-M-E-L-S.
From Hollywood, Camel Cigarettes present the Jimmy Durante Show.
Oh, what a shoot. Oh.
Yes, the Jimmy Durante Show with Alan Young, Roy Bargy and his orchestra, the Crew Chiefs Quartet, Candy Candido, and yours truly, Vern Smith, brought to you by Camel Cigarettes. How mild can a cigarette be? Smoke Camels and see. Yes, prove for yourself how mild Camels are.
In a recent coast-to-coast test of hundreds of men and women who smoked Camels and only Camels for 30 days, noted throat specialists reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels.
And now, here to start things off with his pal, the talented young comedian Alan Young, is the Wizard of Schnoz himself, the one and only Jimmy Durante, in person.
You've got to start off each day with a song. Now, even when things go wrong, why, you feel better, you even look better. Stop that drumming! Stop that drumming! Stop that drumming! He's mad because he wasn't elected Queen of the Rose Bowl. And now, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, as befitting my annual Yuletide custom, will you please yell out your request for Christmas gifts?
All I want is a shaving kit. All I want for Christmas is a golf bag.
All I want for Christmas
is my two front teeth.
Please, please, Prince Charles, you'll have to wait to get him just like any other kid.
Jimmy, I'm surprised you even had time to consider Christmas gifts. You know, I heard you rush down to Washington this week to be the national press ball at the invitation of President Truman himself.
You heard correctly, Alan, my boy. When I got off the train, there was the president's car waiting. And with two motorcycle escorts leading the way, they rushed me to the White House and right to President Truman's private office.
Gosh, did President Truman want to consult you on affairs of state?
No, he was wrapping his Christmas presents, and I got the only thumb that fits his knot. You get a present with a hangnail in it, remember, Harry pulls a tight bow.
Well, tell me, Jimmy, during your stay in Washington, did you reside at the White House?
Yes, that was my reservoir. But discovering that my trunk hadn't arrived yet, I borrowed some clothes from the president. Putting on his gray hat and double-breasted suit, I walked outside for a stroll and I noticed a man was following right behind me.
Gee, Jimmy, was that a Secret Service man?
No, a tailor. Harry still owes two payments on his suit. But the president is only human. Around Christmas, he's short, just like the rest of us.
Well, it sure is exciting talking to you, Jimmy. Just think, you hobnobbing with the President of the United States in the most historical city in America.
Yes, Alan, Washington is inspiring. I love to read all about those great dates in history. Lincoln, 1865.
Yeah, Jefferson, 1798.
Monroe, 1817.
Harrison, 1889.
Crestview, 1954.
Wait a minute. What kind of a date is that?
A redhead. I not only like to read history, I like to make it too.
Well, Jimmy, I suppose all those political celebrities at the press dinner, you didn't get much attention, huh?
Alan, you're laboring under a misapprehension. You know, during the meal, Forrest all looked up from a salad and said, "I want Durante." Barkley stopped right in the middle of his meat course and said, "I need Durante." And General Eisenhower said, "Get me Durante immediately."
Jimmy, what did all those big men want you for?
There were 400 people at that dinner, and I had the only napkin. General Eisenhower didn't reveal everything in his diary. He forgot to mention he dunks.
Well, did you mingle with any political reporters?
Yes, I mangled with quite a few. We had an off-the-record conference on should Alaska join the Union, and after debating vicer and vicer, I convinced them that it was impossible.
Why is it impossible for Alaska to join the Union?
How would the flag look? 48 stars and a salmon. Too bad Idaho's already in, or we could have a side order of potatoes. And then to cap the evening, I went up to one publisher and asked for a copy of his paper.
A copy of his paper?
Yes, I asked for it because...
Yes, you asked for it because you were impressed by the great heritage of the American newspaper. Huge cables humming the news from far-flung outposts of the world. Tokyo.
Oi, Shirishka, kamate na taihenya.
London.
It didn't always fall 18 times in here.
Scotland. It's a problem. Moonlich nicht nicht. All that news brought to the public by the heroic men of the press. And that's why you asked the publisher for a copy of his paper.
No, I just wanted it to cover the bottom of my canary cage.
Well, that's what I like about you, Jimmy, old boy. You know, you're always being of service to somebody.
Oh, Alan, I'm just an ordinary guy with an extra share of brilliance. Let me tell you about it. I was sitting at my piano the other day, but my mind was ill at ease. They were coming to take it away that afternoon. I was all by myself in a mellow mood, improvising symphony. You know, my right hand was playing Mozart's Minuet, and at the same time, my left hand was playing Have a Banana from Carmen, and at the same time, my mouth was whistling a sextet from Louis Genie's. And while all this was going on, what do you think my foot was doing? While keeping time, it was cracking walnuts. You see, I had to eat too. Then in the midst of my soliloquy, a strange feeling came over me. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I found it. I found it. The lost chord. That's it, the lost chord. I found the chord. Go out and find your own chord. So let's celebrate. I'm feeling great. I'm the guy that found the lost chord. That's it. It hasn't changed. I'll have my name in the Hall of Fame, 'cause I went and found the lost chord. Now everybody knows Tchaikovsky, a genius, waited 200 years to be recognized. Bach waited 300 years to be recognized. Beethoven waited 400 years to be recognized. But I can't wait that long. I've only got 2 changes of clothes. So let's celebrate. I'm feeling great. I'm the guy that found the lost cause. Ladies and gentlemen, how I struggle. I worked my brain to the bone. First I put an A flat with a B minor. Then I put a B minor with an F major. Then I put an F major with a B minor. Then I tried an A and a B and a B and a G and a G and a E and a E and a D and a B and a G and a G and a E and a B and a G and a B and a G and a E and a D and a B. What kind of a piano is this? No apostrophes. People said I was mad. But that didn't discourage me. They said Mozart was mad. They said Puccini was mad. They said Louis was mad.
Who's Louis?
My uncle, he was mad. But soon my efforts bore fruit and I found it. The lost chord. Music lovers, do you realize what you're hearing? I'll play it again. That's not the chord. Neither is that. Neither is that. Neither is that. Neither is that. I lost the chord, a catastrophe. Somebody stole it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to sit down on the keyboard of this piano until the chord is returned. That's it, the lost chord. I found it by sitting on the piano keyboard. I'll try it again. Very strange, I usually play by ear. So let's celebrate. I'm feeling great. I'm the guy that found the lost ball.
How mild can a cigarette be? Smoke Camels and see. Yes, prove for yourself just how mild Camels are.
Let me tell you about a recent coast-to-coast test. In this test, hundreds of men and women smoke Camels and only Camels for 30 days, an average of 1 to 2 packs a day. Each week, their throats were examined by noted throat specialists. A total of 2,470 examinations were made, and the doctors reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels.
But prove Camel mildness for yourself. Make your own Camel mildness test. If at any time you're not convinced that Camels are the mildest cigarette you've ever smoked, return the package with the unused cigarettes to the makers of Camels, and you'll receive its full purchase price plus postage.
C-A-M-E-L-S.
Say, Jimmy, I was going through the mail here, and look at this suggestion a listener sent in for the Durante question of the week. It is, what is the greatest book you ever read? What kind of books do you prefer, Jimmy?
Well, Alan, for lighter reading, I prefer those Sherlock Holmes stories like The Hound of the Basketballs. But occasionally I go in for heavier stuff. The last thing I read was the physiological and anatomical aspects of the Neanderthal man in... That's what I do when I'm stuck. I go, nah. The Neanderthal man in direct juxtaposition to carne victorious mammal.
Jimmy, you read that book?
Who said anything about the book? The title alone kept me up for 5 nights. But, Alan, what are your favorite stories?
Well, I kind of like the old-fashioned fairy tales, like the Cinderella story, where at the stroke of midnight, the beautiful coach turns into a pumpkin, and out steps Whittaker Chambers. But, you know, if I had a second choice, I'd take the Three Musketeers.
Say, I saw the picture they made of that story, Alan, and boy, was it exciting. Why don't we act out a scene from it right here? We'll make believe that I'm that dashing musketeer, Athos.
No, no, Jimmy, you can never play Athos. He was a famous fencer, and you don't even have a sword.
Alan, how can you look at my face and say that?
Nah, Jimmy, that's silly. Why, you could never use your nose for a sharp instrument.
No? Then you never seen me slice salami at a barbecue? Come, Alan, let's be on with the Three Musketeers.
I was born in the southern part of France, of poor but honest parents. Father was the greatest grape crusher in all of France. He had 6 toes. He used 5 toes for crushing grapes and his big toe for a cork. Father's name was Cassidy, and one day, just as a joke, I threw a basket full of blue marbles into his grape-crushing bin. And then on, he was known as Hopalong Cassidy. But every boy's dream was to become a swordsman with the King's Musketeers. And I went out to practice my 3 good friends. En Garde, Charlie, Joe, and Freddy. For months we dueled, and when I left, they agreed that I had the sharpest sword. Too bad, Lefty, Shorty, and Stumpy. Yea, verily, I was off to make my fortune in gay Paris. Broad Spotkins, just as I had mounted my beautiful white horse and was about to leave, my girlfriend Fifi came running up.
Farewell, my future musketeer. And always remember, even though I am here, my soul will be with you in Paris, and my mind will be with you in Paris.
All right, and if I make good, I'll send for the rest of the stuff. Au revoir. Giddy up, horsey, before she asked me to kiss her.
Wait, my beloved. Do not leave so soon. A farewell means a kiss, and my lips are waiting.
Okay. Close your eyes, Fifi.
All right. Oh, that was wonderful. Could I have another?
All right. Go ahead, horsey. Kiss her again. But, pushing Fifi aside, I rode away. And once in Paris, I joined the King's Guard. Shortly thereafter, I met a brilliantly bedecked swordsman, and calling out to him, I said, are you one of the famous 3 musketeers, Athos, Porthos, and Aramis?
No, I'm one of the other 3 musketeers, Quanta, La, and Gusta. But tally-ho and not Butkins, and I might add, you have the oddest Butkins I ever saw. Where did you come from?
Well, I spent last night at the Ye Olde Hog's Head Inn.
And I spent last night at the Ye Olde Hog's Head Inn.
I was in room 10.
I was in 10 room also.
Well, I was in the lower bunk.
I was in the upper bunk, and no wonder I didn't sleep a wink all night.
Why?
Just because you're a musketeer, do you have to wear your sword to bed? But I like you and approve it. I'm going to introduce you to some of the fairest damsels in Paris.
I think for you. Even though I've only been here a week, I'm already the greatest lover in Paris. Every day, just for the love of me, a woman kills herself by jumping off the palace tower at noon. What time is it now?
12:01.
Slowpoke.
Well, come, my cavalier. We must hie us hence to the castle of Lady Winter, hence. You see... He had one too many henchmen. You see, Lady Winter is a treacherous spy, and she has plans which were stolen from the king. One of our musketeers has already gone to a castle, but she is holding him captive, so we must go there to get the plans for the king and also to save our fellow musketeer. Watch out, Screen Guild players. Our show has a plot this week.
I'm with you. On to Lady Winter.
Come, my friend, we must get the plans and save the third musketeer. Here's the door that leads to Lady Winter's boudoir. Let's go in.
All right. But remember, we're the three musketeers. All for one and one for all.
That's right. All for one and one for all.
Hello, you sweet, adorable boys.
How are we going to split this three ways?
Who are you men?
Permit me to introduce myself, madame. I am one of the king's henchmen, and this is my fellow musketeer.
Yes, and might I say, madam, that you are the epitome of womanhood, and the graceful flowing lines of your figure are like the flawless perfection of all femininity.
Oh, where did you learn so much about women?
I read the small print in corset ads.
Touché, touché. Now enough of this, balderdash, Lady Winter. We know you have the king's secret plans.
Ah, how silly. If you think I have the plans, you may search me.
All right, Alan, you search it.
Oh, no, you search it.
You search it.
You search it.
You search it.
Okay, I'll search you.
Could we try that waltz again? I think I know the music now. Every week he does the same thing to me.
Look, Lady Winter, why don't you confess? We know you've captured the third musketeer, and we also know that you have the plans.
All right, I'll admit it. I have hidden the plans, but you'll never find out where. They're under something.
Please, Lady Winter, under where?
Under where? Good heavens, you guessed it.
Now, aren't you glad you waited, folks? That's the plot I was telling you about.
Oh, alas, my game is up. Here are your plans. And your third musketeer is in that closet there. But he will never go back with you. He's madly in love with me.
Nonsense. Once a musketeer, always a musketeer. Open the door.
Tell me, third musketeer, do you want to come with us and fight for the glory of France? Or do you want to stay here and make love to this woman and become the lowest creature on earth? How do you feel about that?
I'm feeling mighty low.
Want to know how mild a cigarette can be? Smoke Camels and only Camels for 30 days. Your T-Zone, that's T for taste and T for throat, will tell you how rich and full-flavored, how cool and mild Camels are.
Yes, Camels are so mild that in a recent coast-to-coast test of hundreds of people who smoked only Camels for 30 days, noted throat specialists making weekly examinations reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels. Camel's Choice tobaccos are properly aged and expertly blended for flavor and for mildness.
If at any time you're not convinced that Camels are the mildest cigarette you've ever smoked, return the package with the unused cigarettes to the makers of Camels, and you'll receive its full purchase price plus postage.
And say, friends, for Christmas, give a carton of Camels to each of the smokers on your gift list. The Christmas carton is gay and colorful, easy to buy, so nice to get.
And I'd like to add, I lick off the cellophane, open the pack, take a little puff and just sit back. Going from jokes to the greatest of smokes. Folks, won't you try a Camel?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Durante question of the week. What is the greatest book you ever read? As a prologue, Mr. Durante himself presents scenes from famous books. First,
that was The Rains Came. That was Gone with the Wind.
Wouldst thou hold my hand?
Yes.
Wouldst thou give me a hug?
Yes.
Wouldst thou marry me instantly and have 10 or 12 children?
Oh, yes.
That was Pilgrim's Progress.
Let's hop aboard our magic carpet and take off, Mr. Durant.
I'm with you, Mr. Young. Let's go. Now, any state in the 48 is great.
The 48 is great, and any state is the reason we should celebrate.
We ought to celebrate what books at the head of the list that you've read. What is your favorite literature?
Is it a biography or a geography?
Tonight is the night, we'll make sure.
We've a magic carpet to make this trip.
We pull a string and away we rip.
The voyage is underway.
On to our first destination.
There's a winter wonderland in that town below. We're heading for a magic place in Idaho. Sun Valley.
Well, Alan, here we are in Sun Valley, high in the snow-capped mountains of Idaho.
Say, Jimmy, look at that husky, sun-bronzed mountaineer standing bare-chested in that wind and snow. Hello there, you muscular man of the outdoors.
Greetings, friends.
Well, why, it's the Maharajara of Rangapoo. Tell me, Maharajara, how do you like skiing in the snow country?
Oh, it's terrific. I just come shooting down the ski slide at 70 miles an hour. Then I flew in the air, and I made a perfect three-point landing.
A three-point landing?
Yep, I landed on my left ski, my white ski, and whoops ski.
I don't envy you in that cold climate.
You know, well, if I get frostbitten, my faithful St. Bernard comes to me with a keg of brandy around his neck.
Well, I see the dog, but the keg of brandy is gone.
Well, what do you know? Come here, Wilbur, you brave, heroic dog. Now, Wilbur, who drank that brandy?
Dang it! That ain't a St. Bernard, it's a cockeyed spaniel. But look, Maharajara, I want to ask you the Durandy question of the week. What is the greatest book you ever read?
Well, back in Wangapoo, we don't do much reading, but one of my 89 wives is terribly influenced by books. 2 years ago, she wed Widow Women, and she had a little girl. And she wed my son, and she had a little boy. Now I don't know what to expect.
Why?
Last night, she started reading The Egg and I.
Let's get off the next one. Any state in the 48 is great.
Full speed ahead, Skipper. This beats any train.
We gotta go fast. We have to reach the Southland by the next bar.
Salute and mister, take a bow. Attention, we're arriving now
in Richmond, Virginia.
It's the largest city in the state. The capital, it sure is great.
Richmond, Virginia.
In Dixieland, we'll make our stand, for things are grand in Dixie.
Away,
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 away down south
in Richmond.
Well, Alan, here we are in Richmond, Virginia. Let's talk to that simple-looking little southern girl over there.
Okay, Jim. Pardon me, little missy.
Relax, boys. It's Hot Breath Hallahan.
If my Christmas tree is decorated like that, I won't take it down till Easter.
Look, Miss Hot Breath, what are you doing in Virginia?
I like it here, in the green grass country.
But Virginia is the bluegrass country.
When I'm around, the grass has nothing to be blue about.
Hot Breath, you're kidding.
Oh, yeah? You know the sign on the park that says, keep off the lawn?
Yeah.
I just walked by, and two blades of grass stood up and tore down the sign.
Look, Miss Hartford, our question tonight is about books.
How interesting. I used to go out with two fellows who were named after books. Tom Swift and Boris Goodenough. But I left them.
You left them? Why?
Tom wasn't swift and Boris wasn't good enough. What are you laughing at? Pale, padded, and puny?
I'd like to learn from you. Let's turn out the lights and read a book.
With the lights out, what can you learn?
Well, Jimmy, what's the answer question of the week, huh?
Look. Look, Fräulein Hot Breath, our question for the week is, what is the greatest book you ever read?
Well, I'll tell you, Bucket Beak. It's a book that I wrote myself It's called Four Ways to Kiss by Hot Breath Hallahan.
Gee, Miss Hot Breath, what are your four ways?
Well, there's weak, mild, strong, and get out the jet job, brother. We're really flying tonight.
Let's take off, Mr. Young. Candy snake with the 48 is great.
Here's our next stopping point, James.
We're coming in on the beam.
There's no finer state than Texas. Any citizen who corrects us
never took a look at Austin.
It is thriving and it's growing. That's the spot and we are going
to see what there be in Austin.
Come along, everybody. We'll take you by the hand.
It's the largest capital building in the land.
Austin!
Well, Jimmy, here we are in Austin, Texas, the heart of the Southwest. And look at the cowboy in high-heeled boots and Levi's.
I'll speak to him. Tell me, sir, are you a cowpoke?
If it's a cow, you don't poke, you pull.
Why, it's Professor Nutburger. Mighty nice seeing you all down here in Texas. You know, I visited Texas a few months ago to entertain at the state fair.
Yeah, I know. And how the people loved you. You remember that little house you stayed in?
Yeah.
Where they tore it down, and in your honor, they erected a vacant lot. Us two cuts, and I pulled another yama.
Sure, it's good to see you again, Professor. Remember the wonderful German meals we used to eat together?
Yeah, Schulz's Cafe, that wonderful Rienige heißen Gansmühle und Sauerbraten.
Oh, yeah, and at Ballenberg's Biergarten, orange flufte, stufte, tutne, fleifne, und Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah, und at Hermann's Place, the Salzstange Kartoffelklapp mit Kiefkin und Hasenpfeffer.
Has anybody noticed the hamburgers are getting smaller at Barney's Beanery?
Look, Professor, we want to ask you the Durante question of the week.
Yeah.
What is the greatest book you ever read?
Well, that is very difficult to say. But there is one book that had a very great influence on my life. The minute I looked at it, I went right out and married my wife.
What book could make you do that?
A bank book. Goodbye.
Take me home.
You can travel north, south, east, or west.
The books you read are books you need, and anyone's best.
It's great.
Wonderful.
Marvelous.
Stupendous.
Any state in the 48 is great.
Great. Great. Great.
Each week, the makers of Camel cigarettes send free Camels to servicemen's hospitals from coast to coast. This week, among others, the Camels go to Veterans Hospital, St. Cloud, Minnesota, USAAF Station Hospital, Walker Airfield, Roswell, New Mexico, and Veterans Hospital, McKinney, Texas. That makes a total of more than 180 million cigarettes that the Camel people have sent to servicemen, servicewomen, and veterans.
Well, Jimmy, we've had the opinions of lots of people, but now, what about yours? What do you think is the greatest book that you've ever read?
Alan, it's a book that's worth reading again and again. The Bible. And with the holidays coming on, I can't think of any book that's more comforting to read. It is now, and as always has been, the greatest story ever told. Good night, Mr. Young.
Good night, Mr. Durante.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Halifax, wherever you are.
The Jimmy Durante Show was produced and directed by Phil Cohan. Listen in again next Friday night for the Jimmy Durante Show with Alan Young, brought to you by Camel Cigarettes.
Here's a fine suggestion for the pipe smokers on your Christmas list. Give the one-pound tin of Prince Albert, America's largest-selling smoking tobacco. It's packed in a colorful, cheery Christmas box. Yes, give your friends PA, the National Joy Smoke.
Camel Cigarettes also invite you to tune in the Screen Guild Players next Thursday night when they present a heartwarming Christmas broadcast, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, with Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Stern, Mary Jane Smith, and Charles Kemper.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.